everybody. This is WTBI's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm with somebody now. You know what I think of this person. I think he's the most honest politician going. He has integrity beyond question. And I really enjoy having him on the show. His name is Paul Mark. Now, no, before you ask, that's not gray in his beard. He got powder on it. But I knew him before he had a beard. There you go. But he's our state senator, and I can't ever say that if somebody's that I have referred or have told me, especially after we have shows, well, I called him about blah blah blah, and he just helped me with it. That's the kind of guy he is. He wasn't raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he's worked hard to get to where he is. And I think the thing I admire the most about him, and I mean this sincerely, he has never forgotten where he came from. So without further ado, pour gua, soup du jour, Paul Mark, senator from half of Massachusetts, and then they have some other senators on for Boston. You thought I was kidding you.
No, it's funny. The meeting I had right before this, right?
Yeah.
On the turnpike, there's those service plazas.
Yeah.
The contract is changing, and a new company's coming in for like 30 years, long time. And I had a meeting with them today to talk about, like, what are your plans? Do you know that Blandford has a volunteer fire department and a volunteer conservation commission and all of these things? And they were quite nice, but I pulled out that map. I'm like, I got four. They're taking over 18 service areas, so I got a quarter of them. So, like, yeah, we cover a lot of ground and cover a lot of topics as well. But always good to see you and good to be here.
Well, thank you very much. One thing while they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I really would hope they would put handicapped accessible doors in.
Yeah, I think that's part of what they're going to do.
Good.
And they show me some of the designs, and they try to make it have like a rural Western Mass feel.
Oh, cool.
Like, yeah, the ones like heading towards the coast look like coasty. And we've been working on a project in anticipation of this contract, and just so people know, I'm the vice chair of the transportation committee, so trying to help with the oversight of various, whether it's the turnpike or the airport or everything. And if you go into New York State and you go through their thruway, you'll see like the Taste of New York, and
yes, I've seen that. Yeah,
you know, they do a really good job trying to like sell local products and giving local farmers and local businesses a chance. And
yes,
so
they do.
These people are the group that does that.
Oh, wonderful.
In New York. Yeah. And they say they're gonna do
oh,
it
wonderful.
Here. Yeah. So trying. And there's Gail. Remember Gail Caridi?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, was on the board or the task force that came up with the Boston Public Market, which is, if you go down to Boston, it's like an indoor market, but you know, people from Western Massachusetts sell stuff down there. And they expanded into the airport, and you know, we're trying to give that forum. And if you, I was with, we're hitting a lot of stuff already. I was with Congressman McGovern, who covers the eastern part of my district in the town of Chesterfield, and the farm we visited, they talked a lot about like how to get extra value for their crops, and they love the Pittsfield Farmers Market,
yes,
and they love the one over Northampton. And you know, you give a really small operation four people, you give them a chance to sell some stuff on that turnpike, and
right.
You know, that can be the difference between them staying afloat or going under. So yeah, good stuff. But it was just, I got to show that map now two meetings in a row.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I really think that people, and not that they don't want to, they just don't really comprehend the width and depth and breadth of your district. You know, and I kiddingly say, well, it's half the Commonwealth, and people go, oh, it isn't that big. Well, it's darn close.
It's 22%.
Yeah.
So it's almost a quarter.
Yeah. But you know, just to go back to that, I that taste of New York State. We go to Scarsdale. My son lives in Scarsdale, so we always see that on the Taconic.
Yep. Yeah, that's a nice little thing. Yeah,
And it's always packed.
yes.
Always
Yes.
packed.
And if you remember, like 20 years ago, that was like a little, I don't think you could stop there. It was like a shambles. And yeah, they've done a good job with that, you know?
Yeah, they
Yeah.
have. And you know, I applaud you and the team, your team for thinking like that. Not just another, you know, stop and rob kind of place, you know. But this has got a little ambiance to it.
It at the least, if I've always hated when I worked at the phone company, and there were the years I did the pay phones, and so I would go to the one in Blandford, I would go to the one in, all the way to Charlton, and you fix the pay phones in there, and I've always hated, like, oh, McDonald's is an, you know, 50% more here. It's annoying. And at the least, I know they pay a lot of money to get these contracts, but at the least you can make sure that you're giving back something to the local community and supporting local businesses. You know, I don't mind paying the extra 50 cents if I know it's going to the farm in Lee or
That's right.
Lenox or whatever, you
That,
know. So
yeah, and I will tell you is this is our time of the year, the Polish princess. We have corn on the cob. We have the fresh tomatoes, the fresh peppers, the cucumbers. I mean, I live for this time of the year, and I eat my way through it pretty much. But you know, when you see these farmers, now I had the good fortune when I was a police officer in Lanesboro to know people that ran dairy farms. Let me tell you, brother, that is not an easy job. It's early morning, late night, farming, haying. Oh, God. And I thought when I first came back from Vietnam, a side story, I said, I think I'm going to be a farmer. And so I worked for a couple of weeks up at these very good friends of mine. They're both gone now, but I realized that no, it's too much work for this bad boy.
It's a lot of work, and it's unless you're, I don't know what, really lucky, you are not living like high on the hog. Like that is paycheck to paycheck, and they do it either out of love, tradition, responsibility, but they're really committed. And yeah, like any little tiny thing we can do to put a little extra money in their pocket, I think is important.
I do too, and I'm glad that people like you in the State House are seeing that. And I mean that because, you know, right now it seems like there's the yin and the yang, as they say. The yin is in D.C. and the yang is in Boston. And I just sometimes my wife and I have gotten back to watching the Big Bang Theory in the evening. Reruns of the Big Bang Theory because I can't take the other stuff.
News is, no, it's unwatchable. It's unwatchable.
I mean, where's the camaraderie? Where's the courtesy, the kindness? Even in our local stuff, you know, I mean, you got city employees or whatever, you know. I guess I try to be respectful to everybody, you know, not
Yeah,
up with
even if you
100%,
disagree.
but
Yeah.
I watch how they talk to people. I mean, some of these congressional hearings,
Yeah.
screaming matches.
No, we have hearings, right? And every single bill has to have a hearing, and we can have remote, which is great. It's permanent now, so
Oh, good.
don't have to drive into
Save
Boston.
you.
Oh, I'm supposed to go in, but for
Oh,
the public,
okay.
I
Well,
can
there you
do
go.
remote, but you try to, you try to do it. But I generally don't testify at a hearing because I have access to my colleagues in the Senate and to the representatives and to the chairs and the committee members, because this is my job and I work this full time, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And once in a while there's an exception, like once in a while there's a reason. But where I'm going with this is, at the state level, I find that there are members that want to testify because they want a picture of themselves to post, or they want a press release to put out, or whatever the case
YouTube.
may be. And when you're on the receiving end, when you're on the committee, and you, I look into the audience and I see people that have driven in there or are waiting, taking time off from work, and they wait an hour because 18 legislators need to get their Facebook post. Like, I can't stand that. And so at least I'll say at the state level, that is still meant to inform. It is meant to accomplish something positive. But when you're talking about like national politics, and it is to dig at each other, it is to jab at each other, it is to raise money. I mean, it is just, that is not how we are supposed to have discourse. And it's a problem. It's a problem at every level. And no, I vigorously disagree on many issues with many people, but you certainly should have courtesy and have respect if at all possible.
When I started in radio,
Hmm?
a long time ago now, in fact, my classmate was Marconi, but he invented radio. No, but it was, and I've lived by this. I've had people on this program that I probably wouldn't go out and have a coffee with, but they have a right to be on this because we are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. If you're part of this community, I believe, now I might be the only one, but I believe you have a right to be on it, and I have a duty to treat you respectfully. And I try to do that with everybody. And as you do, I've watched you when big crowds, the little old lady that comes up to you with a problem with, and you're just like intense with her. And that to me, that's the measure of a Tip O'Neill politician, a John F. Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy. You know, everybody, Teddy had his faux pas, but I'm going to tell you something. Teddy never forgot why he was there. And it was to represent the people of the country, but also Massachusetts.
I mean that's what it's about. If people, even if I, again, if I disagree, it's not my role to get into a screaming match.
Right.
Certainly not to be the one that starts the screaming match. It's there to, how do we either address the issue, find common ground, or at least respectfully say, I disagree with you. I think you're wrong. I'm not going to support that.
Yeah.
And thank you. I mean,
Thank
but
you.
you've been hurt,
I've taken it under consideration. I get calls every so often. I get a call like the big bugaboo lately, and I even shared this with Peter Marchetti, is the road work. Not they want the road work, but they want it done overnight.
But not literally, because then they'd hear it overnight.
I mean, can you start at 4 in the afternoon and be done by 4 a.m.? No. And I tell them respectfully, I understand your point, but what would you coming on the show, how would that help it? Okay, give me a chance to vent. Well, there's the bar down the street. Go down there. Because I try to make this program constructive and information, when I started, I said informational, educational, a few laughs along the way, because I think the world is way wound too tight lately. And if you saw some of the emails I get, and you probably get them too, you'll agree.
Yes.
Now you have a staff in Boston, if I'm correct. Yes, and I have to say, tell Anthony that his father did a great job fixing the lighting.
Okay, I will. That's funny. He's back. For the edification of people listening at home, Anthony is from Dalton, and Anthony is a law student at Suffolk, which is where I went. I went at night. I commuted back and forth, but he goes there full time during the day, which is right across the street from the State House. And he was our intern for a semester, and he did a good job. And when our communications role opened, we hired him. And so he works 18 and a half hours, because if you're a full-time law student, you can't work more than 20 hours.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't know that.
so in the summer he was back in Dalton, but now he it's funny you brought him up, because I just saw him for the first time in like 3 4 weeks. So
Yeah, no,
he's
I
back
think
down
I think the world of his whole family.
here.
And
I will tell him what he
his
has to do.
dad reminded me, and I had forgotten, but right now most people know that I forgot where I parked the car. So, but no, and I like what you're doing with that. You're bringing some district people in, and that's really wonderful, you know.
Yeah, and we have two staffers in the district. So
Yeah.
Casey's from he's originally from Worthington, but he lives in Savoy and he does the Berkshire towns.
Yeah.
And John's from Williamsburg in the eastern part of the district, and he does the 25, bigger
Wow.
than any other Senate district non-Berkshire towns. And then we have two that are always down here. I said Anthony's kind of a hybrid, and then Paige is a hybrid. She's from Western Mass and she works in both spots. So
Oh, cool.
we
Hey,
try
yeah,
to mix it up.
I've dealt with both Casey and Paige, and they've been excellent to deal with.
Thank you.
In as you are. Now, what do you think? And maybe this is an unfair question, and I don't mean it to be, but what do you think the ramifications of the presidential administration and us for our what I consider essential school food, Head Start, elderly, are we going to get hurt? In your opinion?
We already are. We're already getting
Okay.
hurt. The federal cuts, the big beautiful bill, whatever they're calling it.
No, that's me. Big, beautiful
Yeah.
bill.
That's hysterical, actually. What has been happening for the first 9 months of this administration is definitely having a funding impact in Massachusetts, and so in our state budget, we put more money in for like the school lunch program because the
Oh, cool.
federal cut was there. The farmers I talked to, this is non-education, but regardless, the farmers I talked to, some of the cuts to the SNAP program, the food
Yeah.
program, nutrition program, are hurting local farmers. And if it's hurting farmers in Massachusetts, it's killing them in Nebraska, it's killing them in
Oh,
Iowa. It
absolutely.
has
Yep.
to be. And so we've been backfilling that. I've been the lead sponsor for years of a program called Healthy Incentives that if you take your SNAP and you go to the farmer's market, you get twice the value.
Oh,
And
wow.
yeah, and it's the state government is like
That's
it's
great
pitching
to
in a
know,
little
though.
extra. That way you buy something good instead of
Yeah.
you go in and you have to buy like ramen noodles, things like that, which
Yeah.
are delicious, but like they're not the most nutritious things on earth.
They're
No,
good for your blood pressure.
it's
All that salt.
Yeah, it's very good for you. And it's creating a lot of uncertainty because like as they're talking about like another potential shutdown, and I think the federal fiscal year starts October 1st.
Yeah.
As the way we left our state budget, and it's the first time I've ever seen it, it's my 15th budget, House and Senate combined, we left $800 million unallocated just
Whoa.
in case. So
Yeah.
yeah, if 400 million in education funding is cut, we have it. If $400 million in healthcare funding, which is going to be, potentially senior citizens, the disabled,
Yeah.
we have some leeway to work with. The problem is, as we wait to see what actually comes down the road, there's money that we've allocated for programs locally that is on hold until we feel a little more stable. And
Sure.
Governor made a couple of vetoes that I get why she made them, but
Yeah.
I think we should override. And some of those are paused as well because we need another couple of weeks, maybe at least all of September to
Yeah.
see how did the first 3 months of the fiscal year go? Because as we like to say when I come on, our budget has to be in balance. We cannot just spend $8 trillion, even though we only took in $3 trillion of tax money. It's just not the way it
Yeah.
works here. So,
Yeah, we're not the yeah, you're not the federal government. yeah. Well, just bring a couple billion more. That's it. Just get the presses going.
we can get them the paper here, but we can't print it ourselves.
Yeah. The but you know, again I get I've heard this is a question. Have you heard of any cuts to Head Start? I mean, literally, oh, there has been.
Yeah, I've heard of cuts to Head Start. I've had of heard of cuts to specific grants. There's I'm not gonna break the news here. I don't know if these like there's two organizations in the Berkshires that are about to have like a 15% cut coming to them, and they may have heard already. They may not have. I don't know where we are in that process, but like that's not. And I'm trying to get answers, and it's
Well, but the reason I say that is because, as you know, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. I got it up and running. It is my firm belief, if you cut Head Start, it's probably one of the worst things that you could do. Because for some of these kiddos, that's their start in life. That prepares them to go to kindergarten. Now, as you know, the Polish princess taught for 41 years. We still are communicating with a lot of people still in the system. And they said you can tell the kids that went to preschool and Head Start from the kids who didn't in kindergarten. So already, and I know I'm on my soapbox, and I don't mean to be taking your time, but as you can tell, I'm very upset about this.
Yeah,
I'm very upset. It's ignorant. I used to have a friend in Texas used to say to me, Bill, you see that guy over there? Yeah. It's like he's so dumb, it's like ignorance gone to seed. You can use that anytime you want.
The money, let's make up a number. Let's say $10 million
Yeah.
got cut from Head Start.
Yeah.
That $10 million is going to cost all of us 100 million over the next 20 years because of everything you just said. So now remedial math and discipline problems and job problems. I mean
Can't read.
investments, especially the younger the investments are made, investments in the future save money in the long run. And not to get on my soapbox, but short-sighted cuts that are intended to give really rich people tax breaks, that is not an investment in the future of this country. You know, there's things in any administration I can disagree with, including Democrats. And then there's things in a Republican administration that I can maybe disagree with, but respect, or at least see a difference of opinion. This isn't one of them. This is a thing that is, it is only going to hurt everybody. It is hurting red states. It is hurting blue states. It's hurting independents. It is not a good thing. And there's moments for belt tightening, and that is not what is being offered, and it is not what is being implemented.
And let's face it, nobody in Head Start is going to be retiring to Trump Towers.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know. You're
You know,
cutting people making 20 bucks an hour or less.
you go after the little person who's barely in working. I mean, really have. And I saw them today walking down North Street. We had to go to a funeral, and there they come with the little kiddos. Some walking, some being pushed. And I thought, what the hell were they thinking? I mean, Carmen, God rest his soul, Carmen Massimino, when he was on the school committee, remember? He used to say, okay, you can pay me now or you can pay me later, but you're going to pay me. And you're right. If we, I'm reading, I'll send you this book. It's to me, it's bad. Well, first of all, was the Anxious Generation. I know you don't have a lot of time to read, but this other one is. And give me one second here. I should know it, but you know me, I can't remember my own. That's why I wear a name tag in case I go out in public. People ask me my name, and I can't remember. Raising Mentally Strong Kids, Daniel G. Amen. And Charles Frey, PhD, Amen's an MD. And I gotta tell you, Paul, the stuff it is at that toddler age, that preschool, that head start. It just, I'm sorry to take your time. It makes me
Oh, it's a
angry.
great conversation. It's important for people to hear this because, again, are there programs especially in the national budget, trillions
Yeah.
of dollars that have outlived their usefulness? Probably. Are there things that we could negotiate the best way to proceed? Sure. But you're 100% right that a blind cut to this, where people are not making a lot of money and where the service is so important, and community action, same thing. Community action right now, I'm taking the lead for them on the Senate side in trying to get them funding restored at the state level, because it was cut federally, and they do so much important good work. And whether it's old so seniors that are going to have a tough time paying their heating bill this winter, kids trying to get to school, people looking for a meal. I mean, there's so much need out there. And it definitely does not benefit our society to make the situation of people in a tough spot worse. It never does. And then,
And you know, as we go forward, we're gonna and what I say to my audience, the viewers and the listeners, this is why I support Paul Mark. Think of what we've just been discussing. He's not talking some highfalutin stuff up there. He's talking the group that I belong to, Joe and Mary Sixpack. That's me. I come out of the north end of Pittsfield, grew up running up and down Wacona Street, or as we like to call it, Vacona. We got to sensitize ourselves. And speak. I don't. If you're a MAGA, then you need to call your people. If you're a Dem, you need to call. I mean, put up some of these things. You got to put up a fight for. I'm sorry, I'm not in politics. No, I'm truly an independent now. I truly am. I see the good and the bad of both sides, and I try to, and you know, but this head start. Obviously, we're going to move on. Because people are going, he's nuts. I got a V8 card starts with three zeros. When I go in, you know the first word they say down in Northampton? Security. I'm here with Paul Mark, a person I have the utmost respect for. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the impacts on the budgets. Because if the federal cuts their money and we got to supplement it, we're the we. And we've become, I think, accustomed to a lot with our tax dollars, and not that we shouldn't be, but I also think too we have to be realistic in these some of these federal cuts that they're going to affect us. And Head Start happens to be one. Paul knows the other. And each of us got to get involved as best we can. Now I say that, get involved, not violently, not pro, you know, geez, you got to be so careful today. But I mean, write your congressmen, write your senators, make your voice known. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. A lot more to hear from Senator Mark about the state of the state and the state of the counties, in his case. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Living Recovery is a peer recovery support center located in downtown Pittsfield. We welcome all who have struggled with addiction or those affected by another's addiction.
What have you learned while being involved at Living in Recovery?
I can own my own recovery path.
What has been your experience at Living in Recovery?
It's a family.
What keeps you coming back to Living in Recovery?
The live events.
For more information on Living in Recovery, visit our website, livingrecoverypittsfield.org, or phone us at 413-570-8243.
Let's have a party.
Hey, friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That guy you see sitting there, his first name is Senator, his middle name is Paul, and his last name is Mark. Senator Paul Mark from the Common, or maybe after these federal budget cuts, it won't be the Commonwealth, it'll be the Common Poor.
But that line I might steal.
Yeah. I've been using it for years. But I want people, and I know people think they understand, but these ramifications of the cut from Washington can have serious implications to us.
Yeah,
in the Berkshires.
Yeah, just so from a really high level, our budget, I think the final number was $61.2 billion. So that's all of us. We pay that money in, yep, and our businesses and, you know, some people visiting and stuff. But that's our money, and we get to spend it. And of the $61.2 billion, $15 billion comes from the federal government. But here's the funny thing. Massachusetts is a donor state, so we actually send more money down to Washington than we get back. So we're already losing, I don't know the number, let's say we're losing $500 million that we send down to Washington that goes to poorer communities in other states, which, yeah, that's the way things work, so fine. But so we're already getting less than if we just kept the money here, and now we're watching that up to a quarter of our budget could suddenly be gone depending on what they do in Washington. And so I haven't heard like any serious talk that we might lose $15 billion, but I think we're already in the hundreds of millions, and we may get into the billion as possible, depending on what they do ultimately with healthcare. And so the ramifications of that mean at the state level, there are three things that you can do. If the budget is out of balance with not enough money, you either raise taxes, we don't want to do that at the state level, or you cut programs, we don't want to do that at the state level, or you tap into the emergency fund, which is $8 billion, which is really good, but we don't know how long the emergency is going to be. So we're trying not to, you know, just like at home, we're trying not to tap into this emergency savings until we know we don't have a choice. And so with those three options, what the most realistic thing to happen, especially the governor's up for re-election next year and she wants to win, and any governor would do the same thing. She's not going to raise taxes and they're not going to tap into the emergency fund. So that means there's going to be either cuts or level funding. And that turns into either our kids get one less teacher at the school, or a road doesn't get paved, or, you know, something potentially tangible.
Yeah.
Or our property taxes go up, because what can keep our property taxes down is money from the state and federal governments. And so, the impact of what is happening in Washington, if it hasn't hit you yet, it's gonna, whether you how fast you notice it, I don't know. But these things matter. And again, Washington spends a lot of money. Washington doesn't pay for everything that they buy, essentially. And I don't like the way they budget. I certainly understand they should have the ability to deficit spend, because if they have an emergency, if there's a war, you know, we need to be able to, at the federal level, when COVID hit, like, you need to be able to suddenly spend money that maybe you weren't budgeting for. Absolutely. But in good times, you're supposed to pay that down, and that strengthens the dollar, and that lets us invest in programs. So again, I am 100% in favor of, if someone can show me that we're buying, let's think of something really ridiculous. We're buying a bunch of VCR players federally because they're testing them out, and there's a lab where people are just watching them, and clearly we don't need that anymore. Sure. If someone can prove that to me, I will send a letter in, get rid of it, and let's spend that on Head Start. Let's spend it on local aid. Let's spend it on something like that.
Yeah.
But definitely cutting programs that we use or the most need to use every day is not that. It is short-sighted, and is going to hurt us.
Yeah. And I think you just made a very interesting point too. Cause somebody was just saying, not to me, but to somebody else, oh boy, it's going to be a tough winter. I don't know whether they read the almanac or whatever, but the point is there's people, that this, with these cuts and the increase in taxes, they're not going to be able to afford to heat their homes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 No, we see that. And a place that we need, and it can be at the state level for sure, that we need significant help policy wise is energy, because electricity prices are crazy. They're bad. And if there is no way to help offset the costs that come to us, like if people have to decide pay their electric bill or have it shut off because otherwise I can't buy my medicine or I can't get to work. I mean, that's an issue. And that blame does not certainly rest all with Washington. Some of it does, but yeah, there's a lot of work we need to do on that in the state level too.
And the other, I don't want to say bugaboo, the other thing that I have some knowledge about is, you know, the big thing is the juvenile crime. It has been out of control. This isn't anything new. DiIulio, professor from Princeton, remember, you maybe don't, you're still probably in high school. But DiIulio in the 90s said a predator generation, and they just destroyed him, right? Well, guess what? There's that subculture now. But here's the thing that I think the mistake may be, and if you hear it rambling down there at the state house, jump at it. It's okay to arrest them, try them, find them guilty, especially violent. Because if you don't cut that off, nip that in the bud, you got serious gang problems. I mean, but that's fine and dandy. But I haven't heard any discussion about, well, while they're locked up, what are you going to do with them?
Right.
If you can put, trust me when I tell you, you put 10, 14-year-old boys in a line with nothing to do and waiting for you to take them somewhere, there's going to be a fight. I'm just telling you.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that's really, it's getting to be one of my zealot speeches and start writing about, okay, you're looking at one end of the problem. That locking them up is only fixing it while they're locked up.
Right. Right, right.
And while they're locked up, if you don't have something, they're going to get worse.
Right. Right. There needs to be programming. There needs to be education. There needs to be a chance to reset and get people on track. I mean, Sheriff Bowler does a great job. He's got that aquaponics program. He used to have the horses. I mean, they have people coming in and GED and college classes. I mean, you need all of that because those people – In the local jail, you know, they're in there for maybe a year, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, but like they're coming back out. And there's a lot of times that people did something that is certainly rehabilitable.
Oh yeah, no, that, a lot of them. You know, I sat and interviewed every single kid that came in.
Yeah.
And I guess without going too far afoot here, but compliments to the DYS, the Massachusetts DYS. I've done some consulting for them through the years, nothing recently. But when they were putting the real bad kids down in Plymouth for the security end of it, but the DYS was running it. Mm. I thought that that was a model that the nation should look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because some kids you can't put in juvie. Some kids are so violent and have done such just awful crimes that they need the security of a real correctional facility.
Right.
But what you're saying, DYS, Sheriff Bowler, going back to Massimiano, to Courtney, to the guy who started it all, he was a World War II guy and saw a lot of guys getting in trouble because they were drunk.
Yeah.
So he brought in AA, A to the,
smart.
Yeah, and so that was kind of like the first program.
Yeah.
But all of these things now are like this, right? Because we don't know, when do you think you'll have your arms around the funding?
For the coming year, for the feds, probably not till after the congressional elections. Like, I don't know if people have noticed this, but at the state, we do a lot of things last minute, but we do it before the election's over. We do it when the session ends. Washington's the opposite. They kind of wait till the election. Like they do a bunch of stop gaps, like temporary stuff. And then once the election's over, they do a lot in that between Thanksgiving and New Year period. It's I don't know. Now not talking
CRs,
as
CRs, they call them, my good man. CRs, resolutions. When I was on Capitol Hill, I felt like I wanted someone to brand CR on my forehead because that's but they didn't do them as much then as they do now. They're almost childish in their arguments and their demeanor.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mean to put that. But one of the things that I liked that you guys did, and I want to make sure this gets out and you get all of you in our governmental state government, you are going to level fund or fund the school food program.
We kept that going even in spite of federal cuts.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you for all those kiddos, and you know them, and I know them, and I grew up with them, and you grew up with them. That those are probably the most solid meals they have.
Definitely. And I say we talk a lot about like some of my experience, and I imagine she did it with not a lot of resources, but like we always were lucky we had good meals at home. But I think it really helped that idea that when I went to school I didn't have to bring a lunch or something. And I know I've said, but if I thought someone was going to notice that I was showing a card to get something for free, I just didn't eat. And then when I started working as a kid, I just buy something. It's tough. And so there's a lot of families that are in much worse shape than we ever even dreamt of. You're right. For some people, that's the best meal they're going to get. And to cut that is just, again, it is so short-sighted. Especially as we are entering an age where technology and competition from the rest of the world is, I think, so much more, I don't know what the word is. It is at such a higher level than we realize.
Absolutely.
If we just sit around and think, because we're America, and so just no matter what, we're going to be number one always. There's a lot of work that goes into staying number one, and we really need to start thinking about like who we want to be on the world stage and what opportunities we want for the next couple of generations to have. I mean, just like this AI. I'm already like, we're already seeing national, like there's job cuts. There's like unemployment creeping up. And like, I have friends that are in my age, like that were in tech and in computers, and they've gotten laid off for like the third time in the last 3 years. And
it's scary.
Scary is a good word. Scary is a good word.
Oh, it is scary. It and like, you know, as you know, and the people at the radio station, they made me put mittens on when I go in the control room so I don't touch anything. But I missed the technology curve. I mean, if I didn't have the guys at the radio and TV station, I could never do this. I mean, I barely can get my cell phone to work on occasion. But what you're saying is so true. I'm going to email you. I interviewed the guy who did the presentation to the Pittsfield School Committee about how the curriculum for adjusting to AI jobs. I don't, not because I did it. The guy is fascinating. I mean, what he's saying, but I'm sitting there going, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Because I'm thinking, well, where are these people going to go?
Well, that's the thing.
What are they going to do? How are they going to feed their family?
That's the thing. And if anyone thinks, and I don't care if you're the head of Amazon or the head of a multinational newspaper chain, that you think you're just going to, you're going to reduce the workforce by 30% because you can have AI cover a lot of the slack. And you think that 10% of the population is just going to accept being unemployed and not have any money. Yeah. And that's not going to be a problem. That is insane. So using something as a tool to enhance work, fine. Cut out some like tedious stuff that frees up hands for other opportunities. Great. But if someone's going to line their pockets and I mean, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in terms of crime. It's going to hurt in terms of economic power. So if you have a store and 10% of the community doesn't have a job, guess what? That means 10% of the community now can't buy stuff from you. Like it's bad on every aspect of life. And I don't want to go too deep and too crazy, but like, why in other countries are there like fundamentalist extremist terror groups? Because there's no opportunity.
Right.
And like, we don't want that here. Like we want to continue to be, you want to be the best nation on earth. You want to be the richest nation on earth. You have to make sure that dream is accessible to as many people as want to work for it.
You know? You've hit it on the head, and I you know, I watch in the morning, I watch the business news, and they're very cavalier about AI this, and you know, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, who's doing the backfill for the people that are going to lose their jobs?
Right.
Where's the cross training coming? You know, I can remember when computers first came in, everybody got cross trained. I can remember what were the first machines they hit? There were we sent the word processors, right? We sent a whole group of people to learn word processing, right? So one day the big boss said to me, hey, I walked through that secretary, and that's when they had secretarial pools, you know? And I walked through the secretary, and nobody's using, they're all still using their Selectrics. So anyhow, he ordered them all Selectrics picked up and put in storage. That forced them to, they had just spent all kinds of money to send them to learn to Kansas City to learn word processing.
That's funny.
But what stop gaps are coming in to re-employ the unemployed?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. And oh, you start to go down a dangerous path of either, can we as a society make the conscious effort that as a consumer, I'm going to shop at the place that employs people and sources local products as opposed to the cheapest thing I can find at all times.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, in like really big picture, we'll probably be talking about more in 5 to 10 years from now, but do we go from a 40-hour work week to a 32-hour work week and for the same pay because there's less human work, staff work to do? I mean, because we can't act like it isn't a detriment to society as a government if there is no opportunity. No opportunity and the inability to make money and save money and have that better life is only going to make us a common poor.
Right, the common.
But it's true. But
well,
it's true.
And you know, mm-hmm. they talk all this AI. I, through my career, I met a lot of people who had artificial intelligence.
I mean, or absent intelligence.
Yeah, yeah. They couldn't spell intelligence. But I think these are real issues that state houses and Congress, they got to start take. It's a beautiful glimmering rose.
Yeah.
AI.
Yeah.
But I mean, with that beautiful glimmering rose, you can use this whenever you want. The thorns, no one's seeing the thorns.
That's the great point, is true. And
I'm
it's
a pretty face, you know.
The big beautiful bill.
Hey, I got a shirt at home. It says, "Who needs hair when you got a body like mine?"
It extends into like data protection too. I mean, you know,
personal protection.
Yeah, you ever use like the McDonald's app?
No,
No. I will shamefully admit I do. And
I just stand there and watch the people come in and do the thing, and then I walk up. Can I get 2 cheeseburgers?
Well, if you use the app, you get points, and so then later you get a free French fry or something.
Oh wow!
But in exchange for that, right. Now, McDonald's knows that 2 times a week, I get the exact same order at the one in Pittsfield or the one in Westfield or the one in, you know, it's like, so if I don't know what they do with it, but they mine this data. You ever look at something online and then later you're looking at the Eagle and it's like, oh, a vacation to Cancun. I was just looking at that. Yeah. Like, you know, like they target this stuff to you.
Well, BJ's.
We
shop at BJ's and you get the monthly booklet. Okay. But then you get a booklet with everything you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't mind those because they're like $2 or $4 coupons. Yeah. You know? But you're right. There's all this data mining going on. There's more, you know, people say, I don't want them to know anything about me. Are you kidding? They know everything about you.
They know everything about
everything about you.
And, there's a bill right now to try to stop. I think they call it like adaptive pricing. Oh. So I don't know if you've like gone to like a sporting event lately, but I like the Boston Celtics, right? And the Boston Celtics were in the playoffs, and you don't get like a ticket anymore that says $50 on it.
Right.
It's all online, and it changes based on like how much people are paying. So the Celtics themselves are their own scalpers now. Is nuts. But so they're talking about doing that at the supermarket. That like if you go in between 4 and 7 when everyone's buying steak, the price will be $1 more. Or if they know that for whatever reason you can like it's like, oh my God, it's horrendous. The potential is horrendous.
And there's that end, and that end keeps growing is the beautiful rose, but people still don't see there's awful thorns now.
Right.
You reach out for the rose and you get a thorn. Right. And the other thing too is when you stop and think about all that companies know about you, the government knows about you. It can become disturbing because, you know, like I'm a disabled vet. I go to the VA. They know I just happen to be looking on my healthy vet, which I'm not, but it was scary, my good friend, absolutely scary to see all that they know about you.
Yep.
And it's not getting better, buddy.
No.
It's
and then you throw in the people that like, hey, look at me, I'm having a beer, and they're posting it on Instagram. It's like,
or the lady that steals the kid's ball.
You know? Right.
I mean, or the guy that's having an affair on big screen.
Oh, that was bad. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, but you know, all kidding aside though, what are we gonna do? How does Joe and Mary six pack, myself? Mm-hmm. Who's gonna watch over it for us? Who's gonna control it? Because right now it's the rage.
Yeah, you hopefully, and I have seen, this is a thing that I think people, regardless of their political beliefs, can agree on, is that, you know, we don't want all this data sold to the highest bidder. We don't want it sold to foreign countries. You know, there needs to be some level of protection. And we just had a caucus today in the Senate. Like, we're working on a data bill this year. And healthcare. I mean, that's one of the most vulnerable places if your information gets out. So that is so important. But there's also some personal responsibility that, you know, maybe don't post everything you do. Maybe don't be on every little tracking app. Turn off your location thing sometimes. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Someone was telling me how they can see, like, their friends where they are because they all share their locations with each other. I'm like, so you, at all times you can look and see
where your friend is.
Yeah, and they can look at them back, and I'm like, that's so weird. To me, that's weird. But
yeah, you know. No, I listen.
But for a kid, it's great. Like, for if you're a parent and that's your kid, but like for some stuff, my God.
Well, I also have to tell you too that when you stop and look at all the good technology has done, and it's done really a lot of good. Yep. It's also done significant bad. I mean, these darn things here, these cell phones, if you read Anxious Generation in the other book, I mean, you wouldn't let your kid have a cell phone until they're 93. You know what I mean? But you're right. The kids, the parent know where the kid is by tracing the phone.
Yeah, that's a plus. You know, I like, you can, hey, is the store still open? Like, I like that kind of thing. You can look stuff up. But
once you say, is Harry Nichols' supermarket still open? That's recorded in 47 different places. He's looking for Harry's. Right. And the answer to that is question, no, it had a fire. Listen, excuse me. I could converse with you for another full hour, but I know you're busy, and I just want to thank you for your integrity, for your honesty, and for your dedication to the people.
Thank you.
I mean that. And you know, I want someday to meet your mom and tell her what a good son she raised. Really.
She will love that.
And I mean it. You know, I don't want to say you're a dying breed, but boy, I'll tell you, I hope some of the new people that are running for office locally and statewide come with the same desire and character that you brought to the program.
Thank you.
And I mean that. And to all of us, to all of you out there listening and watching, God bless. And I mean that. I don't just say it as an anecdote. I mean, God bless all of us. We need it. And today, as I always say, be the person who lifts somebody's burden. Don't make it heavier. Don't make it heavier. Because we're all in this together. And sooner or later, you're going to need some help. I know. I'm an old man. I've needed help in the past, and I'll probably need help in the future. Because upstairs is turning into, well, oatmeal. But there it is. Paul, I can't thank you enough, and let's do this next month again. But we'll know more, perhaps, or there'll be a continuing resolution through the holidays. To Paul, Mark, and to all of you, thank you for listening and watching. And to Paul, thank you for all you do for all of us in this district and the Commonwealth as a whole.
Thank you.
You're a good man, and do something with that beard. All right.
See you next time.
Folks, we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye. Thanks, Paul.